Leadville, Colorado, welcome to the GCN Show.
Welcome to the GCN Show.
Coming up this week, does cycling always have to be dangerous? We weigh out the risks and see whether or not there is always a spectre of injury or worse every time you ride and whether you can do anything about it.
We've also got the return of Mathieu van der Poel, a fresh approach for Pogacar for 2026, some bad news for the bike industry, and the Swift's bike theft ring that's just been busted. This week in the world of cycling, we learn what can happen if you fall off your bike at 175 miles per hour.
Yeah, a fairly rare situation, we would guess, but luckily in this case, there was a car in front to hang on to.
Yes, that was Neil Campbell attempting to break the record for the fastest ever cyclist. And make sure you check out the full video on GCN, and we'll also explain a little more about it later in the show too.
Yes, now we have also learned this week that Factor Bikes have officially launched the One, which is their outrageous looking new aero bike that was teased in pro racing about 6 months ago.
Roughly, yeah. From initial tests, it seems like it is actually fast. Factor have also modernised the geometry of the bike to account for recent trends in bike position. But frankly, what matters most right now is it looks, to my mind, Si, really bloody cool.
Yeah. It is not often that anything to do with road cycling could be described as muscular and aggressive looking, but this one might.
I can't help but feel slightly offended, given that I've been going to the gym for the last couple of years, that you don't think I look muscular.
You have seen yourself, right?
Yep.
There are chickens with bigger legs than yours, mate.
All right, point taken. Moving on. The first of the 2026 World Tour team kits are now out. UAE, a bit more black. Lidl, Trek, a little bit less red. Movistar, similar to this year. NSN, brand new kit in light blue and orange. And Red Bull Bora Hansgrohe, who've gone with a kit that looks quite similar to their special edition Tour de France kit from back in July.
Standout for us, though, so far, is this number from SD Works Pro Time. Whoever the kit designer is, chapeau. Mm. That looks very cool.
Fire. Although I'm going to hold out some judgment, Si, until I see them all in the Pro Peloton, because there are kits that look great in individual photos that look awful in the bunch, and vice versa.
Yeah, I think it might be a bit blendy, that one. Kind of blend into the background. Right, now, finally this week, we learn that Sir Chris Hoy is also not too old to fall off his bike. Now, he spoke to Sky Sports last week about a recent crash on his mountain bike, which he says is the worst that he's had in 43 years of bike riding and racing, we should add, at the very top level. And it has left him with a broken leg.
The news comes in the wake of Si here, rather less impressively, face planting into a bush and scratching his face a little bit.
I mean, to be fair, we don't know how Chris fell off his mountain bike. It might not have been that impressive either.
Good point, well made.
But admittedly, breaking your leg is more impressive than scratching your face.
Your face has recovered very well. Very
it's getting there, isn't it? Yeah. So.
Anyway, back to the point. Si's crash prompted us to discuss whether or not you should back off as you get older.
Yeah, now with Chris, though, we should say there is this added element of him living with a diagnosis of terminal prostate cancer. Now, something which, while you can imagine, will be absolutely devastating. He has said, actually, in an interview with the BBC, that in some ways it's kind of improved his life because he's now better able to live in the moment and see the positives in small things.
And so it's interesting to hear him talk about this recent broken leg. What he said exactly is, you can trip walking up steps to your front door and hurt yourself. The point is, I'm not a massive risk taker, but I want to live my life and I want to make the most of it. None of us are here forever, so you want to make the most of the time you have and do the things you enjoy.
I am totally on board with that.
Wise words, yeah.
Yeah, now, of course, for some people, the enjoyment of something like cycling might be tempered with the risk element. Like, for example, it seems like lots of people retire from mountaineering because they begin to spend more time worrying about the safety or lack thereof and actually less time enjoying it.
But is cycling different? I mean, does cycling have to be dangerous?
No. I really don't think that it does. I think you can absolutely ride a bike with no danger. But,
I mean, surely there's always going to be an element of risk with it.
Well, yeah. Okay, there is. But as we heard from Chris Hoy, there's an element of risk walking over your doorstep. Mm. Did you know, in fact, that according to the National Safety Council in the United States, well, yeah, it is. The number of fatal accidents in the home in the US has increased by 233% over the last 25 years.
You were actually showing this to me earlier, and what I noted was that most of those deaths are poisoning related.
True, but the next biggest chunk are from falls. I mean, the point is, right, that even at home, you're not safe. As humans, we are never truly safe. Mm. And we need to weigh up the risk factors, don't we? Like the risk of dying from cardiovascular disease versus the risk of cycling to work.
Yep, fair point. Very fair point. And is there a less risky way of cycling? What can you do, would you say, to make cycling safer for yourself?
Well, that is a good question. So around town, the bikes that I feel safest on are actually... I need to caveat there by saying that I don't feel unsafe mm-hmm. on any bike, thankfully. But the ones that I genuinely feel like indestructible, in inverted commas, are like bigger, heavier e-bikes.
Yeah.
Or good old-fashioned kind of town bike style things.
I can see that as well. I mean, not fast, but stable, I guess is what you're saying, isn't it? Modern ones have wider tires and really good brakes as well.
They do indeed, yeah. You can totally see why they appeal to people who are less used to riding. In urban areas, there is definitely a safety in numbers effect. I mean, I think that's scientifically proven, actually, now. But I think when it comes to other types of riding, I think I'd rather do it on my own or just with a very small group of friends who I have complete confidence in.
Groups of cyclists with mixed abilities does always add a certain element of risk, I would say, doesn't
yes.
it? Although, again, those risks are probably quite easily outweighed for most people through the sheer enjoyment they're getting out of those rides. I, though, would personally always steer clear of fast roads. Whenever possible, at least. Speed differentials do make me quite nervous, i.e., I would rather be hit by a slow-moving car than one that's moving very fast.
Yes, I know what you mean. It's a delightful topic of conversation, this one, isn't it?
Lovely, yeah. Well, you started it.
True, okay. Well, I think as well, and I say this having had more than my fair share of crashes off-road, I think one of the big appeals of riding off-road on gravel is that feeling of safety you get.
It's quite relaxing in many respects, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
But then it's interesting that you use the phrase feeling of safety because I think that's it in a nutshell, effectively. Most of this is about feeling, your sense of danger, I guess. Ollie was just complaining about how a new bike path has been built near his house where there's no need to make a bike path, according to him, because it's not that busy there and it's a 30 miles per hour limit. But then what if you're 8 years old, for example, cycling to school, or you're 40 and you've only just started riding again to carry your kids on a cargo bike? Might be a different story then.
Exactly. It would be a different story, wouldn't it? And that's kind of what it all comes down to, isn't it? Cycling doesn't have to be dangerous. It isn't dangerous, not more than the risk of travelling faster than walking pace, I guess. But it can feel like it, and that in itself is a risk.
Well, I mean, everyone's different, aren't they? And I kind of think we just all need to respect each other's risk aversion or appetite for danger. I mean, go back to the guy at the start, Neil Campbell. He crashed at 175 miles per hour, obviously, and is planning on making another attempt, despite the previous one going almost catastrophically wrong. And at the other end of the spectrum, there are people who feel that they would rather ride on an indoor trainer, for example, because they simply want to keep fit on a bike and maybe don't feel confident in themselves and or those around them when they're riding outside. I mean, I do have a bigger risk aversion than I used to in my teens or 20s, and I just don't really want to put myself in more danger than I need to at this point in my life. But at the same time, I've never really felt that unsafe on the roads or trails that surround where I currently live.
Yeah. Is that down to your immense bike handling skills, Dan?
Well, you joke, Si. But having ridden bikes seriously on and off road for over 30 years at this point, I do feel like I've got some more skills in the locker than someone that's just taken up the sport in recent years. And actually, I learnt this in a round and about way when I went cross-country skiing a few years ago.
With Fabian Cancellara?
Well, I don't like to name drop, Si, but yes, it was with Fabian Cancellara. He tried to teach me how to cross-country ski, and for the life of me, I couldn't get the hang of it, and I couldn't do it. I mean, it's slightly different with cycling, admittedly, because most people do learn to ride a bike at some point in their childhood. But I remember it struck me at the time that what they were making look really easy, easier than it actually is, in my opinion, I made look harder than it actually is.
You didn't make it look hard, mate.
I know.
No. You sort of made it look impossible, didn't you?
I knew there was a punchline coming, I just didn't know what it was. Thanks very much. But my point remains, do what you feel comfortable in doing.
Yeah. It also sounds a little bit like your point is that if you're really good at cycling, it's not dangerous. But if you're as crap as you are at cross-country skiing, there's probably an inherent risk to it.
Yeah, I mean, there weren't many downhills, but there was one and I crashed.
Do you crash on skis or do you just fall over?
Well, I fell over.
You fell over.
Okay. Well, I mean, I guess
that shouldn't be funny, but it is.
I guess there's probably a certain speed requirement to call it a crash. I basically lost balance and fell over.
It doubled over. Yeah. Anyway, right. Well, we'd like to know what you think about this, okay? So, yeah, as we said, we discussed something similar a couple of weeks ago, but this time, does it have to be dangerous? I don't think it does.
No. Well, it doesn't. I don't think it has to be, no.
No, but let us know what you think in the comment section down below. I'd be super interested to read your thoughts.
And now it's time for Cycling Shorts.
Cycling Shorts now. I'm going to start with an invite, which is an invite to join Lorraine and her husband down here. They did their first public group workout today, but there are a further 13 that you can join in with. And whilst this does sound dodgy, I am sure that it's not, isn't it? Because it's a group workout on Zwift.
It is, yeah.
For a start, which
some
is definitely...
Some of the safest cycling you can do.
Well, not just safe cycling, but safe for work, isn't it? And it was a 45-minute Zone 2 session,
yeah.
Which is also not dodgy, is it?
No, but, I mean, they are great rides, though, because everyone's banded together on these rides.
Stop sniggering at their back,
yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah, he's trying to keep it quiet. But,
yeah.
It means that I can keep up Lorraine, the fact that it's a banded ride, which is always nice to know. In all seriousness, though, they've been set up as banded ride, as I said, which means that everyone who joins will be in one big group from start all the way through to the finish, no matter how much or how little power you're putting through the pedals. The more, the merrier. So if you want to join on the next ride, which will be on Tuesdays and Thursdays for the next few weeks.
What time of day, Dan?
Midday, sort of lunchtime.
Lunch break!
My lunch break, yeah.
I wonder whether someone high up at GCN has had words with them.
No, I've moved my lunch break to one. So it's back to work hours. But yeah, just head to the GCN Club page on your Zwift Companion phone app, then click on events and you'll be able to find and join the rides there.
Oh, that's cool. Now, how many joined you on today's ride?
As you well know, Si, I haven't actually done today's ride as we record this because we're recording this yesterday, if that makes any sense whatsoever. But as we record this, 140 people have signed up for the first ride.
That is really
pretty
good.
Cool. Hopefully it'll be above that.
Yeah, amazing. On to some racing news now. On Sunday, world champion Mathieu van der Poel made his return to cyclocross at the UCI World Cup in Le Mans.
Cracking course, that, isn't it?
Oh, so good.
Now, no prizes for guessing that he won the race. He did. But it was unexpectedly close,
it was,
really, wasn't
it? Yeah.
Normally, Mathieu van der Poel has a 2-minute gap on everyone else after 1 minute of racing in cyclocross, doesn't he? But on this occasion, he was pushed close pretty much all the way to the finish line.
Yeah, mainly by Thibaut Nace. So it bodes very well for the rest of the season, unless that was just him finding his legs. But actually, I didn't think he'd win that until Nace slipped off.
Yep, same.
So yeah. Anyway, he assured everyone that he just was keeping something in the tank.
He did, didn't he?
Until his last lap attack. But anyway, there we go. Lucinda Brand, by the way, won the women's race. That was her 53rd consecutive podium in top-level cyclocross.
I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, that's a crazy level of consistency at the top level of any sport,
yeah.
Isn't there? Wout van Aert, incidentally, will make his debut in cyclocross for the winter on Saturday. And as Van der Poel is also going to be there, we're going to get to see the first duel between those two of this winter.
Brilliant. So good to watch.
Yeah.
Right, sticking with pro cycling, Pogačar's team, UAE, revealed not just their new team kit, but also his 2026 race programme last week. And he is doing just 16 days of racing ahead of his attempt at winning a fifth Tour de France.
To be fair to him, they're quite big races,
yeah.
Like those 16 days, aren't they? So Strade Bianche, Sanremo, Flanders, Roubaix, Liège, Romandy and Swiss. And believe it or not, Si, of those 7 races, he's only previously won 3 of them.
Yeah, hence those choices,
I
guess.
Imagine so, yeah.
Clearly, he wants to continue ticking off a few races he has yet to win.
What a position to be in.
Also, many people, yourself included, mm-hmm. are speculating that the reason he's not racing all that much before the Tour is so that he's fresh enough to take on La Vuelta afterwards.
Physically and mentally.
Mm.
Yeah, watch this space, I guess. Right, moving on from racing, some bad news and sad news, really, from the US. So bike imports there are down 24%. This is from data that was collected in the first three quarters of this year versus the same period in 2024.
Yeah, now the article, which is on Bicycle Retailer, does not go into detail on the reasons behind the slump, but you could imagine that some of it, at least, is down to the tariffs that were brought in March
this year. Better news, meanwhile, in Switzerland, even though it does relate to bike theft. So a criminal ring there was busted by authorities in what was known as Operation Guerra.
Ooh, a gang of three men are on trial for stealing hundreds of expensive bikes around Bern and Basel over a number of years, which were then sold on platforms like Facebook Marketplace. Now, the trial is ongoing with a verdict on Friday. Prosecutors are demanding a 6-year sentence for the ringleader, known as Florian K.
So if a second-hand bike prize looks too good to be true, it probably is. Now, we feel like we should do a shout-out to Nathan Hurley, who is just about to complete his 28,000-mile ride around the world, crossing 6 continents and 43 countries in the process.
Yeah, apparently he promised his mum that he'd be back for Christmas. So he has been in a bit of a rush for the past few weeks. But what is all the more impressive about this is that Nathan wasn't actually a cyclist before he set off.
Now I remember and, the story.
Yeah, according to the article, he nearly wiped out in the first 50 metres of his journey. But he's managed this route, which even included the Pamir Highway, which you will remember defeated poor old Connor.
I mean, skipping breakfast will defeat poor Connor, so that's not saying too much, is it? But I do take your point. Anyway, well done to Nathan.
Well done, Nathan, yeah. Now, the Zwift Community Racing League Season 2 has just drawn to a close. You'll remember we did a shout-out and asked for you lot to join the GCN teams, basically. And those of you that did have been riding up a storm once again. But can I just say, my team have smashed it once more, taking third in their league and claiming the highest placing of all the GCN teams.
Two of my team members have already absconded to other teams from the GCN presenters.
Really?
I got a message from one saying he was off to Alex's team, and just a few days ago, I got another one on the group chat saying he was going to your team.
No way.
I just put traitor in block capitals.
Why, yeah.
Before we left the group.
Welcome along. Anyone with high enough FTP is welcome.
But yeah, I'm pleased for you anyway, Si. I'm glad to see that your team's doing better in that Zwift Racing League than you're doing at Cross Races at the moment.
To be fair, I was quite pleased with my comeback to cyclocross, well, also at the weekend alongside Vanderpool.
The video's on the screen right now. You'll be able to laugh at in a video in a few weeks' time. I can't wait to watch it.
Look,
I mean,
seriously.
Alex's stories as he came into the office this morning, fantastic.
We were experimenting with bikes, and I took one for the team, okay? We swapped from proper cyclocross bikes onto a gravel bike mid-race to see what the difference was.
And? Was it a big difference?
Well, you'll have to wait and see. Yeah. Thankfully, though, neither of us broke our ankles, which is more than can be said for you when you did half a lap of the same venue a few years ago.
Yeah, I just did a half a practice lap.
Half a practice lap on a fairly benign grassy field. And unfortunately, Dan's incredible skills that we were talking about just moments ago deserted him.
Yeah. Don't remind me. It's a bit like my cross-country skiing, wasn't it? Now, hopefully, you've all seen the film that we made in Bolivia, which was released a few weeks ago. But we have got a second part for you coming out this week. And that is where Si and Ollie ride the epic climb, which was also filmed for a brand new route on Ruvi.
Yeah, Chacaltaya, 5,300 metres we rode up to, yeah. So that route and more from Bolivia will be available next week on Ruvi, including Death Road itself. And then we're actually going to be doing a group ride on that very climb next Monday on Ruvi, if you want to join us. During work hours?
No.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Anyway, we'll have more information on that in the description below this video.
Right, just to wrap up cycling shorts for this week, a reminder that you can still enter our competition to win one of 5 pairs of Pirelli Cinturato Gravel M tyres. All you need to do is click on the link in the video description below, and after that, you'll have all the information you need. Good luck. Hack. /bodge of the week now. I'm actually going to start this week with a message or a comment that was left underneath last week's show from Louis the Mill Billy, who had the Trek and Monda ALR set up for being able to ride whilst he was injured. He said, watched the show while riding this rig, made my day, thank you very much. Just wanted to confirm the seat does get white. We were concerned it would be a little bit sweaty, weren't we?
Well, because it was a ride-on lawnmower seat that he was borrowing for the winter. And anyway.
Thanks for the clarification.
Yeah, I'm relieved to know that your ride-on lawnmower will be just as nice.
Exactly.
Next spring.
First up this week then, Jeff Garmany put DIY child seat. No further explanation. Oh, no, there is further explanation. I built this child seat for my son about a year ago. Now, he usually rides on his own, but for the last year, this worked great. I put it together mostly from spare parts sitting around the garage. Got a regular cargo rack, a Thompson stem, an old mountain bike handlebar chopped down for a narrow grip, and Aury grips cut down a notch to fit small hands. The only parts I had to buy online was a seat pad and the foot pedals. It only cost a few bucks. Works great for school runs and everything around the neighbourhood.
I got to say, mate, that is very cool.
It's very well done, isn't it?
It is, yeah. So if you are watching this, instead of a kind of child seat where...
You mean listening?
Yeah, that's what I mean. If you are listening to this, instead of a child seat that the child kind of has to get lifted into, it's effectively turned a pannier rack into like a bench seat. So it's the kind of thing you get on a turn cargo bike, actually.
Is it?
We can do, yeah. But space for one. I think that's super cool.
Yeah.
Absolutely awesome.
I'm going to say hack.
Yeah.
Neat idea. Well executed.
Yeah, right. Samuel, next up. A park tool now makes a Christmas tree base. I wouldn't call it a base so much as this is a park tool workstand that is clamping a Christmas tree in the middle, I would say. My parents have very kindly donated a Christmas tree, or have donated a Christmas tree to me and my flatmates this year. However, when we picked it up, we realised the base wasn't included. No worries, a quick trip to the garage to grab the Park Tool PCS 9.3. Rearrange the branches to access the trunk, softly grab the middle section to not crush the included cables, and there you go. Jobs are good.
Well, let's just hope we don't have too much bike maintenance for the next few weeks, I suppose.
Good point.
How many Christmas trees have you bought, Si, which come with stand included?
None.
No, I haven't either.
No.
I mean, I think they're expecting a bit too much from their parents there.
Well, I mean, that looks like an artificial Christmas tree.
Oh, is it? I didn't look that closely.
Well, isn't it?
No, it might well be, yeah.
So I suspect you have to get a stand.
Yeah, OK, I'll take my mick taking back then.
OK. What were we saying? Bodge?
I think I'm going to say bodge, yeah. It's not a stand at all.
No, it's not really, is it?
Yeah.
But then I suppose it's got them out of a situation, hasn't it?
Yeah, but get a stand.
Just get a stand. OK, well, yeah, fair enough, Dan.
Oh, dear.
Good point. Right, what on earth is this next one?
This comes in from Benjamin Bates, Abominational Gateway. I've been inspired by GCN to get involved in gravel riding, but was short on cash, so I decided to turn my old hardtail into a rudimentary gravel bike. You're going to love this side.
Well,
I put some wide drop bars on, switched the crank set for a cheap single chain ring, put a 42 tooth on the back, and it was a really good intro. Got me into gravel biking. Now I've got a proper gravel bike, but this was actually fine. It was enjoyable and didn't cost me much. Hack or bodge, you're cool chaps. Keep up the good work, guys.
I mean, it's got to be a hack, hasn't it?
It absolutely has to be a cack. I've never said that before. Yeah.
It's definitely not a cack. No, I mean, yeah, like a 26 a man bike with a nice pair of RockShox Judies on the front.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I disagree with is your choice of handlebars.
Flared bars.
Yeah.
Not into them.
No,
but it got him into gravel riding.
Well, yeah, and actually it looks flipping great for a gravel bike, isn't it?
It does look like a good position on that bike, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah,
that's really cool. Oh, yeah, no, I think fair play, Benjamin.
Good stuff.
Yeah, that's great. That is
Just seen the last one, Si.
Alan Tallier. The best rear beer light ever.
Whoa.
What? When cycling in Belgium in the summer, I realised I left my rear light at home, so I popped into a shop to get one and came out with a free six-pack of delicious mineral waters, a.k.a. Duvel beers. Maybe it was the other way around. Defo a hack, though. I love my new light. It always turns heads on grill. Right, so this is a Duvel D-shaped LED
light. This is amazing.
Light.
Yeah.
A rear bike light. That's actually a thing. I mean, it's neither hang nor bodge. It's just a real product.
It's a product, yeah. But I'm, despite it being just a product, I'm saying hack.
Is that your? They're your favourites, aren't they, Duvel? One of your favourites.
Amongst my favourites, yeah.
I used top 10?
I used to like Leff until a Belgian told me that Leff is a bit like Carlsberg over here.
It's
like
really?
Common as muck in Belgium, apparently. Before that, I thought I knew my stuff, but clearly not. So I no longer drink Leff for that very reason.
Yeah.
I do like a Duvel, yeah. And if anyone watching works for Duvel and would fancy sending me a bike light, that'd be much appreciated.
That's the most shameless plug you've ever done.
Yeah, and actually, thinking about it, I'm not even sure I'm allowed to do that.
But no, I don't think you are, mate.
We'll leave it in and just hope for the best that I get a light and then no one complains to like HR or any sort of advertising standards authority or whatever it might be.
I was going to say, mate, yeah, inland revenue, yeah. That kind of thing.
If you don't see me again, because I've lost my job, but I have got a Duvel light.
Yeah. Weird that you got away with how fit is my wife, but the Duvel, the Duvel light is what's going to do you
yeah,
over.
Derail me. It's the final straw that broke the camel's back. Right, thanks once again for your submissions for this week. All you need to do to get your submissions in for next week is head to globalcyclingnetwork.com/uploader.
It's time now for Caption Competition, that part of the show where you get a chance to get your hands on a coveted GCN Camelback water bottle. All you have to do is put a witty caption in the comment section down below that relates to a photo we'll give you in just 1 second after the not-so-small matter of the results from last week.
Last week's photo was this one from the Singapore Criterium, I think it was. Jonathan Milan holding up his teammate Ed Turn's legs. Got an honourable mention again this week, haven't we?
We do.
That goes to Jared Anderson, who put... Nothing to fear, mate. I've checked and your ankles are indeed smaller than size. There's a reason why that's honourable mention and not receiving a bottle.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. You think you can get away with stuff like that, Jared?
Think again.
No way. So the real winner this week is Artist Teacher. From this angle, it looks like you've got a little one.
Very good.
It's so childish.
I mean, proof that men never grow up. Because we both chuckled, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
Right, get in touch with us on Facebook with your address. We'll get a bottle sent out as soon as we possibly can. This week's image comes from the latest round of the UCI Cyclocross World Cup in Namur. This is Amandine Fouquenet of France. I will get you started. As the French rider realised too late that she had no saddle, the crowd all explained? We mucked it up already.
You have, yeah.
Right, take two. As the French rider realised she had no saddle, I know this is all staying in.
Yeah.
Right, there's a reason I'm not a comedian.
Yeah.
As the French rider realised she had no saddle, the crowd all exclaimed, Fouquenet. Yeah. I mean, I'm glad I got even a little chuckle at the end of the third attempt.
I mean, I think it was more because it took three attempts to get it out, but anyway. Well, I mean, I'm assuming there is a saddle there. Like, there's nothing obvious.
God, that would be bad, wouldn't it?
It would be, yeah.
It would be.
I mean, I think that's worse than your front wheel falling out. You know, we were talking about that the other week.
Probably would be, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Let's not think about it too much, though. No. If you think you can beat Dan's caption, then please pop your caption in the description down below.
We're having a great week.
Yeah, we are. In the comment section down below. Oh, it's nearly Christmas, Dan. In the comment section down below, and we will pick a winner next week.
It's so smooth.
Smooth.
We will shortly let you know what's coming up on the channel this week. But first, a load of comments from last week's video, starting under the GCN show. JDez5016, Sweden here. I'll let my partner know that she should be happy when riding home from work in minus 15 degrees of snow all over the bike paths that haven't been ploughed for the third day in a row because she lives in one of the happiest cycling countries on earth. She will be thrilled.
Do you know what, right? I went to Sweden once in winter and I was amazed at how grippy the snow was. In the UK, if it snows, it's lethal and everyone just slips everywhere. In Sweden, it was grippy snow. Like, genuinely, you could ride and walk on it, happy as Larry.
Is this a bit like Canadians telling us that the winters here aren't proper?
I'm just telling Swedes that they shouldn't moan.
You Swedes don't know what proper snow's like. Can't ride a bike on snow in the UK.
Well, my point was that they've got proper snow, which is grippy, whereas we have, like, slushy, crappy snow that's slippery. Anyway, that does sound bad.
Next up, Andreev Sig. Probably not said that right, but Icelandic cyclist here. We have glorious weather. It's sunshine, albeit covered by clouds. Those clouds shower us in rain, snow, sleet, and sometimes embrace us in fog so thick we have about 2 metres of visibility. And let's not forget the wind. Literally pushes us down when we have craving to embrace the earth beneath us. Just helps us along the way towards the rough edges of the volcanic rocks. But where else can you cycle around active volcanoes, glaciers, in almost brand new landscapes in lava fields and then turn a corner and see mossy grassland with farms. This being said, the Rift just posted a 330k route if anyone in the GCN HQ wants to suffer a bit this summer.
I mean, it does sound delightful, Andrew, but can you see a tree? You got any trees?
Oh, I don't know.
No. Not many trees. There are a few huddled in one section of Iceland, I believe, but the rest of it,
okay,
no trees.
We should probably point out that amongst the discussions on last week's GCN show were the 7 or 6 happiest places in the world to live, most of which were big cycling nations, weren't they?
That's right, and most of them were Scandinavian,
weren't
they? I mean, 330 kilometres sounds like a really long way, but I would like to go back to Iceland because it was amazing. I just don't think I fancy 330Ks.
Without trees?
Well, even with trees, I don't think I fancy 330K.
I reckon that if there are not many trees, there's not much bramble.
No, but then, as Andrew points out, there are sharp volcanic rocks, which I think if you went face first into...
Yeah.
Anyway, right, Stuart Misfelt said, yes, there are Lidl stores in the USA. I went to one in Manassas, Virginia. Well, there we go. Mm. I did not know that.
I didn't either. No, there's a few people saying, yeah, we've got Lidl's.
There you go.
None in Australia, though, just Aldi so far.
Oh, is that right?
Ner connoisseur, but training is often already the mistake. Embrace cycling as a lifestyle. Don't restrict it to just being a sport. 45 people like that comment. So
whoa. Why is it either or? Why can you not train and have cycling as a lifestyle? Stop with this inverse snobbery. You know what I mean? It really annoys me when people are like, oh, you know, you can only do one type of cycling. Just do it all. Yeah. You can train. That's totally fine. You can ride as a cyclist. Anyway, I'm sorry. Pick on you. But Nerk connoisseur.
Mm. You can really tell that Si's getting older, can't you?
What? It's getting grumpy.
Moodiness. Yeah, right. Oh, moving on.
Yeah, maybe.
Moving on to how fit is my wife? Bonneville County, Idaho. My wife will love this video. She's over 50 years old, gave birth to our 3 babies, pleasantly plump, and a US Army disabled veteran who's training for the 1,000 kilometer round trip Shikoku Circuit bicycle route ride in Japan. Lorraine will be an inspiration to her. Thank you very much.
Oh, that's cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
Gilbert Tang, HR-approved fit wife, a grand piano mansion, grip strength for days, once was on the Cervelo test team, reasonable ankles compared to Si. Dan has it all, folks.
Pepper Kombucha, glad to see HR approved the video name. Lots of comments along the same lines.
Yeah.
Although it doesn't have the same context about being fit in other countries, I discovered.
Oh, is that right?
Some people just don't understand why it needs to go past HR. Yeah, I think it might be just UK.
Oh, right.
Maybe Australia.
UK, you get a little smirk.
Hmm?
Okay.
Lynette said, great to have content that broadens the market for GCN. Looking forward to seeing how Lorraine gets on.
Yeah, that's cool, isn't it? And then, as promised, a bit more discussion under the what happens when you crash a bicycle at 175 miles an hour video. Ollie said, for context, hey, everyone, I hope you enjoy this one. I think it's incredible for anyone to push the limits of what humans have done. For anyone criticising the driver, I know there were a fair few.
Quite a few.
Yeah. I know from speaking to the guys that communication was difficult with the noise of the car, and that while the driver could see Neil through a window, he couldn't see him when he was holding on to the side of the window and assumed that he'd been safely dropped off. Neil was very clear that the reason for impact was his own lapse in concentration, and the driver didn't do anything unexpected. Mm. So there we go.
Okay. Right then, other comments underneath that video. Mama Mooney, looks like I'll continue with my mantra when my husband goes out mountain biking. Have fun, be safe, don't do stupid things. I shall keep the don't do stupid things in my farewell.
As in, because he sometimes rides at 175 miles an hour on his bike rides.
I think that Mama Mooney just wants her husband to be safe when he goes out riding.
Fair. OK Ruler said it goes well with your video on the dangerousness of cycling.
Yes. Not sure, yeah.
I mean, he had a lot of safety kit.
Yeah.
What would have actually happened if he'd hit the deck?
I did think about it, but then I didn't want to think about it, so I stopped.
How fast are MotoGP riders going when they hit the deck?
Oh, that is true, yeah. But yeah, I guess it would have been a smooth surface. They do get away with a lot, don't they? Seem to just sort of slide and.
God, it's awful, isn't it?
I still don't want to think about it.
Kurt
Barquet proves that steel frames are faster than carbon.
No. I mean, you can't argue that.
No. Right then, coming up on the channel this week, on Thursday, the aforementioned video, Ruvi Epic Climb that Si talked about earlier on.
And then on Saturday, we've got our almost annual GCN Presenter Race. Mm-hmm. International Edition. It was super fun, yeah. So we've got all the presenters, I think, bar one, involved in this one.
Who was missing?
Giorgio, wasn't he?
Oh, yes, he was.
So yeah. Actually, no, hang on a minute. Giorgio was there. Was one it Alan who wasn't there?
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Anyway, we'll get back to you on that one.
We'll get back to you on that one.
And on Sunday, the Solstice Night Ride, which I'm not involved in.
No. Well, we were going to invite you for the dog walk, but you decided that...
Yeah, that was dangerous too.
Basically. And if you're wondering, by the way, where our video about the Festina team bike has gone, it's not gone anywhere, we just haven't released it yet. No. So we just thought we'd keep you all waiting. It's like a fine wine, that one. It's just improving with age.
I'd say we're saving it for a rainy day, but there's been a lot of them recently, hasn't there?
Well, and we filmed it on a blooming rainy day as well.
Well, it'll be out there soon. Don't worry.
It will.
Thanks very much for watching. We will see you again this time next week.